So Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 17, and won't you stand out of respect for God's word? One way to express our respect, and want to welcome some of you back. You know, man, we had a lot of sicknesses and throughout our community. Welcome back if you've been sick, and I hope you don't get sick, others of us, and we'll just continue serving the Lord and looking to the Lord together. So Matthew 21, verses 12 to 17. Jesus entered the temple area, and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of God, Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? And he left them and he went out to the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come together as your gathered people this morning. We come as your living temple. Lord, we thank you for a new little life. I'm so grateful. And Lord, we're grateful for your life in us by your Spirit. So Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, may we hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So when you talk about purposes in life, you know, a lot of people have a lot of things to say. The founder of the Boy Scouts said that our purpose in life ought to be to leave things a little bit better than we found them. And then there's the Dalai Lama, who has said for a long time that our purpose in life ought to be happiness. And then somebody a little more recently who helps us get rid of stuff, who asked, is our stuff giving us joy? And so by implication, well, I think at least the purpose of our stuff ought to be joy, and maybe that's our purpose in life. And as Christians, the interesting thing is that we really don't differ a whole lot from our secular counterparts. So we have songs, Christian songs, about if you want to be happy, follow Jesus. If you want to have joy, joy, joy down in your heart, then follow Jesus. And so you don't trip, right? Yeah. Or aren't we here to make our world a better place? And our churches, you know, ought to be places of excitement and of love and those types of things. But what if the King was to come? What if the King of the universe was to come and check things out? I wonder how things would look. And of course, he did come, and that's what we think about this season. And the passage that we're looking at this morning really comes right after Palm Sunday. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew described him as the King who came, and he wasn't excited about what he found. I wonder if he were to come to us this morning. I wonder what he would think. I wonder if he would agree with our purposes in life. Or if he might want to upset some apple carts or some tables in our temples to straighten things out. Historically, the church has often said that our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If we look at this passage, we see that our purpose is, another way of saying it is that our purpose is to love the Lord and to love others. And we see that as we move through this story of what happened soon after Palm Sunday as Jesus came to the temple. The King wants us to love him and to love others. But he came to a temple where there wasn't a whole lot of God, love of God going on. So he came into the temple, and there was a problem going on there. There was legitimate business going on in the temple. They needed to change money over because people were coming in for Passover from out of town, and so they're, you know, like in our time, you have to, you know, we go to the ATM. They would have gone to the money changer. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing when you need to change currencies. They were there to pay their taxes, and that's something we don't enjoy, but it's something that's legitimate to be done. And they were there to offer sacrifices. Well, the Lord had said that they were to offer sacrifices, and that was a good thing. And so some people who hadn't brought sacrifices needed to buy their sacrifices. But here's what Jesus didn't like. The closer that they got to Jerusalem, the higher the prices would go. And then once they got into the temple, the prices went way up. Even for those who were buying the doves, or as one version puts it, the pigeons. Those were the poor people. Things were jacked through the roof. So it's kind of like you go to Hershey Park. How many knows how much a burger costs at Hershey Park right now? $7. $7 for a hamburger. But why would you buy a hamburger for $7 at Hershey Park? Because you're hungry and you're there and you got nothing else you can do. Unless you brought a really old burger from home. And that's what was going on here. I mean, Hershey Park is there to make a buck. And, you know, so they jack it up so they make a buck. And Jesus said, I don't like what's going on here. He said, this place is not about making bucks. This place is about connecting people with God. He says, this is supposed to be a house of prayer, a place of helping people to talk with God. But you've made it a den of thieves. You've made this a robber's den. You guys are counting your change and padding your pockets. He said, that is wrong. This is about you. It's not about God. And Jesus got so angry, he pushed over the tables. He kicked over the chairs. He took out a whip, John's gospel tells us. I mean, this is the Son of God. And went around and used a whip to get everybody out of there. And the leaders that were there, they were not happy with what was going on. And Jesus said, this place is not about him, this is about you. And I wonder if Jesus were to come to us, I wonder what he would say. Well, if our purpose is indeed is to glorify the Lord as individuals, as households, as workers, as churches, as the church, I wonder what Jesus would find. Are we about glorifying the Lord, about glorifying or taking care of things for ourselves? As we come together on a Sunday morning, do we come together to see what we can get out of it? Did I get something out of it? Did I enjoy myself? Did I get loved by other people? Or am I here to praise God, to give God a sacrifice of praise, as the book of Hebrews talks about it? Do I prepare my heart coming in and saying, Lord, I know that you care more about what's going on the inside than what comes out of the outside. Lord, do you care? Am I giving you honestly a sacrifice from the heart? Am I thinking, Lord, about how you're going to receive the voice, the songs that I sing? Am I falling before you with my heart and with my ears and saying, Lord, I want to worship you as I listen to your word, as it's spoken, as it's sung? Lord, I'm going to truly when a prayer is prayed, it's not just going to be that person standing in front. I'm going in with that person, and I am praying, and we are praying together, and Lord, I'm offering you all that I am and all that I have. But what about where we spend our week, whatever our calling might be, whether it be to the school desk, or whether it be to the office, or to the job site, or to the gas station, or to the neighborhood? Is it about us? Is it about what we can get for ourselves? Is it about satisfying our needs? Or is it doing everything for the glory of God and saying, Lord, I'm going to honor you with the 8 hours or whatever it is of my day. I'm going to honor you with my time at night. Lord, I'm going to honor you with all with what how I spend my time and how I invest myself during the day. Lord, this is for your glory and not for mine. And I wonder about our church. What about our building and even our facility and our ministries? Is this about us and our comfort and what we can do maybe for our name or the name of our church? Or is this about the glory of God? Is this for his praise? When we think about even our facilities and the quality of what we do in terms of stewardship, in terms of how we take care of things and how we decorate, are we thinking about others and about the glory of God? Or we think about what we like and what makes us comfortable in terms of how we carry on. When we think about the corporate people of God, how we act together as a church or as the kingdom of God, maybe across a region or across or around the world, is the way that we act, are our attitudes ones that glorify God, or is it more about us and what we want to accomplish in our society or in our world or in our neighborhood or in our church? You see, Jesus came to the temple and he said, wait a minute here. He says, I am the one. I have come now to claim my own. He would give his life for us because he knew that we were naturally selfish. But he had some things to straighten out first. He had some things to get right. He said, this is not about you. This is about my living among you and about the glory for my Father in heaven. Because you see, when we're glorifying the Father in heaven, then what happens is that we live for others. We have a life of love for others. So what happened next? Was the riffraff showed up. So Jesus has pretty much cleared the room. The people are the leaders are getting angry. Their smoke is coming out of their ears. The whole thing is in pandemonium. And then the blind people come in, and they heard something, and they come in, and they say, "Jesus, Jesus, will you touch us? Will you help us to see?" And then the lame come in, maybe their friends. Or the men, or maybe they saw an opening in the action, and maybe they couldn't, maybe they didn't have the funds to take part in everything, but they see that Jesus is there, and so they come in and they start they're gathering around him, and again the leaders are they're just getting more and more upset, but they're trying to get to Jesus, and then everything breaks loose as the children come in. They'd been around for Palm Sunday, and they start dancing around the room, and they're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it's then that the leaders of the temple, man, they are fit to be tied. They cannot believe. They are indignant. They can't believe the disrespect for this place. They can't believe disruption that's gone on there in the temple. And they said, "Jesus, do you see what's going on here? Can you see what's happening here?" And Jesus says, "I do. I do." You see, love is messy. Love is messy when Jesus is caring for people through us. Our church has a wonderful tradition, which I have loved from the very beginning, of offering our building to outsiders. And so a couple of nights ago, this building was full of 150 or so homeschoolers from a group that we call GRASP. It's here every Tuesday morning, packs out the building. On the last Thursday of the month, we have a group called, we sponsor what we call Blessings of Hope, a surplus food distribution. We have other groups that come in during the week, and children that are here, and youth group on Sunday nights, and it creates a bit of disruption. But that's the way that ministry is. That's the way that loving people is. And that's the way that it is in our neighborhoods as well. When we reach out to the person next door, when we reach out to the person at the next desk or the person down the street, it gets messy. Our hands get dirty sometimes. But Jesus loves it when we love people in his name. There's something that's attractive about that as well. There was an emperor by the name of Julian the Apostate who wanted to get rid of the Christians. I think he was the last emperor of Rome. And he was so frustrated with the Christians, he just wanted to get rid of them. And he said, you know, those people, they love everybody. Even not just their own, but they love everybody in our society. And it frustrated the gills out of him. But he hated that they loved everybody. But there's something that was so attractive about that love that they had for one another. Our number one witness is that we serve like Jesus does. As Jesus lives in and through us. And when we love God, we love people, is then that we enjoy his smile. The leader said, do you hear him? Do you hear what these kids are saying? And Jesus, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, this is biblical. This was predicted in the Bible that I would be praised by children and even by nursing infants. He said, they would praise my name. And Jesus smiles. He smiles when we love others through him. Jesus loves the little children. He loves the little children of the world. He loves red and yellow and black and white. All of them are precious in his sight. He loves little children. He loves when we love them. He loves those in need. He loves the lame. He loves the blind. He loves the poor. He loves those in situations where justice is needed. And he loves it when we love people that he loves. And there was a party going on that day that he just loved as he came there to the temple. And there's a party going on when he loves others through us. I married into my wife's family when we were dating. There was a man by the name of Harry Halpern. And he was well known in town. He lived on the main street. He lived in a facility for the handicapped. He had cerebral palsy. He couldn't talk. He was in a wheelchair. He had a big smile and he'd wave as everybody came by. And every Sunday morning, her dad would pick him up and bring him over to church. And I think that the Lord was smiling because everybody else smiled when Harry showed up at church. And you know, he drooled. He made some funny sounds here and there. But I know that everybody else was happy to have Harry there. There's something that was very attractive about Harry being with us. And I believe that the Lord was pleased. That the Lord was smiling in heaven because Maureen's dad picked up Harry every week and brought him to church. And the Lord is pleased when we reach out to others in his name. For children, for those who may be looked down on by everybody else. Those who have special needs may be officially declared a special need, and those who have other kinds of special needs that we can love in Jesus' name. Some of you heard about Gary Thomas, who wrote that book called Sacred Marriage that is going on in one of our Vision Advance classes. He wrote another book before that. It was called Sacred Pathways. And Sacred Pathways is a book about how we grow closer to God. The assumption is that we've come to Jesus already, that we put our faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says, you know, different people, then uh, they they grow close to Jesus then after that point in different ways. He said, some are going to spend a lot of time in this book. And of course, everybody should spend time in this book. He said, some people are going to spend a lot of time on their knees. And of course, we should all spend time on our knees. Some are going to go and spend time in nature. And he said that there are some who are specially drawn to service. And when they spend time serving, it's in those times that they especially sense the presence of God. I think it's something that we can all do. But I think that it's something that it's the presence of God that we can all experience as we spend time with Jesus, and then he leads us to care for others in need. John Piper wrote that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And I think we can reverse that. That we are most satisfied in God when he is most glorified in us. Let's love the Lord. Let's love other people. And so experience his joy. It's not long after this that some people came to Jesus. These leaders came to Jesus and they were trying to stump him. They said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment of them all? And Jesus said, well, number one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. And number two, he said, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Let's love others. Let's love the Lord. And so realize the joy of our Lord Jesus. Won't you bow your heads and with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. We long to love you more deeply. Lord, would you work in our hearts to deepen our love for you? Lord, we long to love others like you love us. Would you work in us by your Spirit? And Lord, may we experience the joy of communing with you as we follow you, as you lead us in life. We pray in Jesus' name.